I just I guess with stuff about guys, I just really feel like I want to see some change in the church, because for a long time it's kind of been this thing where it's like, it's all right for girls to come to church and for women to come to church and for kids to come to church or something like that, but for men to come to church is like meh. And I really believe that we have a chance as a generation to change that and to grow up as men, and then as we get older as husbands and fathers who are in church, who are committed to God, who aren't the boss of their life. And I like there's so much great stuff about Australia and Australian culture, but that blokey stuff, it's just, there's so much rubbish in that as well, I think. Honestly, and I don't want to be like that. And I really feel like we have a chance as a generation. And don't get me wrong, I'm not talking about being like a wimp or a wuss or anything like that. But I mean, being strong guys that can humble themselves before God. And look at like someone like David in the Bible. Is this guy who is a king? He's a warrior. He kills a giant. He's not a weak guy, but he worships God with all his heart. He just worships him with abandon, and he writes songs to God just out of the love that's in his heart for his king. And I think that's a picture of what we can be like, people like guys who just give their all to God, and that's a significant thing, that out of your, like, what the world would perceive as strength, that you would give that to God. Is that cool? If I could just really quickly get things. Is this like sketchy? Yeah, I'll swap. Hello, that's better. I just really quickly just want to share some stuff that God's been speaking to me, I guess, and might be the guy's independent spirit coming out in me, but I like doing things myself, even when I've got one hand.
It's a sense of achievement.
There's this small sense of pride in me when I can put my own shirt on and that sort of thing. Anyway, I just really quickly want to share, because we're basically out of time. I just want to talk about impossibility, if that's cool. Because I really feel like God wants to do stuff in us that is impossible. And that the more we seek God and the more we seek His purpose for our lives, the more impossible things He will ask of us. Yeah? And for me in my life, the more that I say to God, God, I give you everything. I surrender to you. I want to see you move. I want your plan for my life. The more God throws tasks at me and challenges at me that are impossible. And so I was thinking about that, and I was thinking about through the Bible and thinking about all of this significant stuff that happens. And from the start, just impossible stuff. There's this guy called Noah. He builds a giant boat, and every single type of animal in the world gets into it and is saved from a giant world-ending flood. Impossible. There's this guy called Abraham who, when he's like 100 years old, God tells him he's going to have a son. Impossible, but it happens. There's this young boy, David, who comes up against this giant who's like 8 foot tall and a warrior and beats him with a rock. That's impossible. Yeah, and it just keeps going. There are just people after people, like just over and over, that do impossible things, and kind of realizing that if I'm going to do something that's possible for myself, it's really not that big a deal. It's like, yeah, I could do that, because you could. But what's significant in our lives is when we can do the impossible and the stuff that is too big, that is too hard, that is beyond us. And I really think that if you feel like God's telling you to do something, or there's a call on your life from God, and if it's something that you figured you can achieve by yourself, it's not God telling you to do it. Like, God's plan on your life needs to be bigger than you, amen? There's this passage in Zechariah that I really like. And I'm just going to preface it with a bit of Old Testament history. So, the Israelites are a people group, yeah? The Jewish people. They were doing okay. They had all this stuff going on. Then they were slaves in Egypt. Then they were brought out of slavery in Egypt by God, and their kingdom was established. It's like a real big, tight summary here. They end up with these kings. So David, you know, Solomon, you know, like these guys, they build this huge kingdom of Israel. And Solomon builds this amazing temple to God. And so they're there. That happens. There's some kings. They stuff up. They do whatever. They end up in slavery again with the Babylonians. So is everybody with me? That's where we're up to. And then there's this guy called Zerubbabel. What a name. It's my first son. I'm joking. Zerubbabel Thomas. It's terrible. I think I'd need more like a non-Anglo last name if I was going to use that. Anyway, he gets this call to go and rebuild this temple. So when the Israelites were captured and taken into slavery, Jerusalem was destroyed and the temple was destroyed, yeah? And so they are still in captivity. They are still slaves. But he gets this call to rebuild this temple. Impossible, yeah? But this is what God says to him. And it's in Zechariah 4, verse 6. It says, "Not by might, nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord Almighty." We need to learn to embrace this way of living, that it's not about our strength or our power or what we perceive as the things that we can do with our own hand or our own mind or our own intel or whatever, but it's by God's Spirit, amen? This is when we'll see the potential that we have in our lives and the things that God has for us really released. And we'll start to see just the stuff happen that God's got for us to do and the things that He's called for us to do. And it's not about striving, and it's not about straining, it's not about putting in the yards in our own strength, but it's about relying on God. Amen? Just really quickly, I have points, I have a whole message here. But we're running out of time, so I'm just gonna, you know, just I suppose hit it up just real quick. Look at this, I can hold the mic in this hand almost. I said to the guys I needed a headset mic, and they said that they could gaff tape this to my head. Thanks production team. Anyway, there's this passage, this story in Matthew, and it's in Matthew 14. And Jesus has gone to pray. And the disciples have gone ahead of him on this boat out into the river, like into this lake. And they've gone out, and it says that they were a considerable distance from land, and there's wind and there's waves and stuff going on. And I'll read it from verse 25. It says, "Shortly before dawn, Jesus went out to them walking on the lake." Yeah? "When the disciples saw him walking on the lake, they were terrified. 'It's a ghost,' they said, and cried out in fear. But Jesus immediately said to them, 'Take courage, it is I, don't be afraid.' 'Lord, if it's you,' Peter replied, 'tell me to come to you on the water.' 'Come,' he said. Then Peter got down out of the boat, walked on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid and beginning to sink, cried out, 'Lord, save me.' Immediately Jesus reached out his hand and caught him. 'You have little faith,' he said. 'Why did you doubt?'" I just love this story, and I just want to just grab a couple of things real quick. So you're not going to get all of the good stuff, the illustration and the things. You're just going to get the points basically right now. But I think that we are called to live lives beyond the possible, beyond the natural. And I believe that Peter was somebody that, even though he made mistakes in his life, as all of us do, understood this. And he does the impossible here. He walks on water. Really? Come on. And so there's a few things I just want to pull out of that. The first one is obedience. If we want to do the impossible, this is what we need to do. Peter calls out to Jesus and he says, "Jesus, if that's you, tell me to come and I'll come." And so Jesus says, "All right, come." And so he does. Who has the faith? Like, who does that? For me, like, when there's stuff in my life that Jesus is telling me to do, that God is speaking to my heart and it seems impossible, like, I'll fight him for it. I don't know if anybody else is like that. Be like, surely not, God. Surely you meant row the boat a bit closer to me. Like, or swim over to me. Like, even that would be hard in itself. But Peter doesn't do that. And his level of obedience to Jesus is phenomenal. And I just really feel like God maybe is been telling you some stuff. For me, I know he has, but for you, he's been saying things that he wants you to do that sound impossible. But I think we need this heart that says, God, if you tell me to come, I'll come. And so we just need that obedience, amen. The thing is, just like one of my, like a bonus point, but Peter was obedient incredibly there, but he was also looking for that opportunity. Jesus didn't even come out and say, Peter, I want you to obey me and come out on the water. Peter says, if that's you, let me come out. Like, he's gunning for it. He's like, I want to do the impossible. I want this opportunity right now. And he sees, he's like, there is an opportunity right now for me to do something impossible with Jesus. Nobody, none of the other disciples in the boat say, Jesus, if that's you, let me come out. Like, there wasn't like a group of them walking out on the water. Peter sees that opportunity and he says, if you want me to do it, I'll obey. I think there's a few things in that I don't have time to go into, but like just basically I'm saying, like, if God tells you to do something, obey it. The second thing is focus, real quick. Peter walks on the water and he's looking at Jesus and he's going well. He is walking on water. And then he starts to see the waves and the ocean and the circumstance come around him and he begins to sink. And I think that as long as our focus is on God, we can see impossible things happen. But as soon as we start to focus on circumstance and obstacles, we start to sink, yeah? And I'm not trying to diminish the challenge here, because it's hard sometimes to obey God and do what you think is impossible. I know that. But it's about doing it in God's spirit, not our own strength. And when we start to look at the circumstance, start to look at the things that are wrong, then that's when we start to try and do it ourselves again. And it's God's spirit, and we need to learn to look beyond the challenge and look to the God that provides for everything, yeah? So focus. So we need to obey God when he speaks. We need to focus on him. And the third thing is we need to have faith. When Jesus picks up Peter, it says that he immediately grabbed him. He says, "You have little faith. Why did you doubt?" We need faith that doesn't doubt. That it's like when you're a kid, if your dad is with you, you can do anything. Yeah? Like, you could be doing the craziest stuff, but because your dad's like okay with it, you're not going to get hurt. Does anybody else know what I mean with that? Like, you're riding a bike or whatever, or I don't know what you're doing, but when your dad's there holding on to you, you can do anything you want, and it doesn't matter how scary it is. And we lose that as we get older and we start to get disappointments and hurts and whatever. People let us down. I don't know what it is for you, but then we lose that absolute confidence. But that's the sort of faith that Jesus is sort of saying to Peter. He's like, why did you ever think for a second that I was going to let you drown? Why did you even think for like half a second that was going to be a problem? Why did you even let that thought into your head that I didn't have the best for you, that I wasn't there to immediately grab you? And I think when we can have that faith, it'll enable us to do the impossible, amen, because we've got such confidence. And I know that that's what I want in my life. I want to say, God, I don't get this, I don't understand, but you're God and you love me, and so I've got nothing to worry about. I'm not trying to say that this is me all the time and that I'm perfect at this stuff. Don't hear that from this, but that's how we're called to live. And we're called to do impossible things, but we're not called to try and do them ourselves, but just to rely on God for them. Amen. All right, I'm just going to pray. God, thank you so much for your word to us. Thank you so much for the call you have on our lives and for everything that you're doing. And God, I just pray that you'll just be with us, Lord, that we would have just complete faith and confidence in you and just know what you have called us to so strongly, God, that we would not doubt and not have to worry. God, thank you that you are always there, that you are always faithful. God, just thank you for your love for us and that it gives us the ability to do impossible things for you. God, I pray that you'll just put this in our hearts strongly tonight, and God, that you'll just cement the things that you've been doing tonight, Lord, and really just speak that into people, into all of our hearts, God. Amen.